Blog Talk Radio.
Because I'm heading eastbound, tired of the merry-go-round and around. And everybody's talking about your stuff funny, but they're still telling lies to me. I got the trees in my backyard, and it's hard for them to tell a lie to me. And who's the foot? I'm the foot, but who's stepping? You know where I'm stepping. Skirts play with it cause I'm slick like that. I'm the greatest MC in the world. You got to give me mine cause I'm heavy when I weigh it. Watch the way I say it.
Ego trip.
I changed my pitch up, smack my bitch up.
I never did
it. The flavor's being bucked, but brothers ain't getting it. Get it? Or else you're gonna, when I rolls over, you're gonna have to wanna lamp. Cause it's the Chattanooga champ. Taking a train.
Good evening, y'all. This is Cusper coming to you with the Clown Hour. I'm the creator of the sports blog, The Clown Time. You can find us online at www.theclowntime.net. By the way, that's Clown spelled with K. And you can find us on Facebook as well. I got a Facebook page where people can talk shit, have fun, all that good stuff. That's pretty much just do a search for The Clown Time on Facebook. You're able to find us there. So let me turn this off before I start bobbing my head this shit all night long. I love it. I love De La Soul. But anyway, on a more serious note, this is a two-for-one podcast, if you will. First of all, you know, with Dan Snyder making news recently that he tried to, quote-unquote, share his vision while keeping the Redskins in, which I think is ridiculous and just stupid. And also with the discussion of the actual discussion about raising the age limit in the NBA. New commissioner, NBA commissioner, almost called him David Stern, Adam Silver, proposed to raise the age limit to 20 years old instead of 19. But anyway, we're going to go into that in more depth with my man from the Yard / HBCU Sports, Dwayne Nash, and my homeboy from college, Chris LePay. So, fellas, what's up? Good evening.
DJ Paul is down with us.
There you go. That is classic, classic. I could listen to them also all in all. Them and Tribe Called Quest. I could listen to those cats, man, forever and ever. So, but good evening. I know this is they're now the Sweet 16, being that you have a lot of upsets and frankly none of my teams who I'm pulling for are in it. I don't want to say don't give a damn. I mean, I'm watching it right now, to be honest with you. But I got a mute in the background. But that's another story for another time. Let's get through this quickly. I said earlier that Dan Snyder talked about sharing his vision about with his new Native American Foundation. I'm reading from the Post right quick. This came out the day after he issued a four-page letter to fans. Regarding the name of the Redskins, and on the heels of that, he announced that the founding of a foundation that were a Native Americans, pretty much Redskins owner Dan Snyder, aka Danny Boy Snyder, presented his vision to his fellow owners at the NFL's annual meeting. So I don't know what to make of this. It seems like a little bit of window dressing here. We basically know the reason why that he won't change the name because of the money maker. I mean, Redskins is a brand name. So, as I say all of that, are you any of you guys buying what Snyder is selling, or like I said before, is it just window dressing? And Chris, I'll start with you.
Okay. I think it's just a way to keep his name in the news. I mean, he's already said, under no certain terms that he's not going to change the name. Okay. And right. It's because it makes money. So just leave it at that. But this, trying to get Indians involved and all this other kind of business, all it is just, hey, I need to make sure I stay relevant. Kind of like what Jerry Jones does. He's doing the exact same thing, only he's using he's doing it at the expense of the Native Americans. So that's what I believe. Mm. Yeah.
Well, the last thing we all need in the world are two Jerry Joneses in the world, but that's another story. So Dwayne, you're the Redskins fan here. You're a Washington, D.C. native, so this is obviously pretty sensitive to you. So what say you, my man?
Well, once again, I have to start off by saying the words and thoughts that I've expressed tonight on behalf of Dwayne Nash are in no way a reflection of the Yard HBCU Sports or of the Clown Sports. As being the lone Skins fan here on this broadcast and the one recipient of this four-page letter, I'm like, oh, my God, what is this, Aaliyah all over again? I have to agree with Chris. This is a way for him to keep his name in the media. He loves his name to be out there. I mean, right. Even going back to the huge lawsuit, which is still entertaining to me, an article that was written at one point in time that no one barely read, and all of a sudden he gets upset about it months later because one of his staff members reads it, and it becomes media again. This dude just loves attention, and you're absolutely correct. He falls in that whole mold of Jerry Jones. But the whole name change, losing money BS, it's just that to me. It's BS because the fan base, even though there are a huge bunch of us out here that either, one, don't want the name to be changed, or two, in my case, I don't care if the name is changed or not. We're going to buy paraphernalia. Matter of fact, we're going to buy up old P-Funk, excuse my fraternity or sorority reference there, to go ahead and get up the old stuff. Because we love the old stuff, and then we'll love the new stuff because it's still the team. The money is still going to be there. He's not going to lose any money. I just find it highly interesting that he's taking this entire approach. And just like the United Nation, everyone else sees this as what it is. It's a very thin veil for him to make some sort of attempt to go ahead and reach out, even though someone – that I saw in a symposium actually said something similar to this months ago, and I'll touch on that a little bit later in terms of maybe all the United Nation needs is a little bit of dough and potentially they'll hush up.
I thought it was I had an issue. Let's just start back with earlier in the football season when, you know, they pan out to all of his special guests on the field, and then you got members of the Native American community there.
Yeah.
Like, why are they there? You know, it's a setup to what he just did, to the letter he just sent out. It's just a setup. You know, he's trying to make sure he stays relevant. Oh, look, they support us. You know, well, we weren't even talking about it because we stopped talking about the name change in the beginning of the season when the quarterback talked about it. That was way earlier this season. You know, now he brings it back up at the end of the season when they're not in the playoffs. Who cares? You know, they're not in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready to go talk about the Super Bowl teams and the playoff teams. So at the end of the season, when they're not relevant, he makes the Redskins relevant because that story, seeing that, came up on the highlights, you know, that night, you know, several times. You see the Redskins are there with their Native American guests, you know. So you just have to grin and smile, you know, at what he should do. That's all I can say, you know. I do agree that if there was a name change, people were still going to follow it, you know. Follow teams, you know. You think about the fact that the Browns moved and changed their name to the Ravens. Well, people were still fans, you know. People still liked the owner, you know. They didn't care that, you know, the names changed. You know, you still have Syracuse Orange Men changed their name to Orange. And who else? St. John's changed their name
to the Reds.
They still have all their fans. They'll have all their fans. So for him to say, oh, you have lose fans, that's not true. You might actually gain some if you change it.
Exactly. You know, I tell you what, with all these with the large Native American community here in the district, and, you know, we're given that, you know, I don't know if you guys are privy to this. Well, probably Dwayne because he lives here. But, you know, they had, by the day, I mean, the Oneida Nation, as well as other Native American representatives at the at the history of the Native of at the Native American Museum had a symposium, I think, a couple years ago, where they actually called on Dan Snyder to change the name and try to state why. And of course, I think only maybe one person from the Washington Redskins organization attended the forum. Of course, it wasn't Dan Snyder. But and this would lead me to this. It's funny that Dan Snyder is picking this time to come out and make some type of statement about it and tries to and his gerrymandering to Native Americans everywhere, is that even like before and after he made that declaration that he will, quote, under no circumstances change the name of the team, and he said, quote me on that, he's been hiding. I mean, he's nowhere to be found, and, you know, and which bothers me. Now, like it or not, when Jack Ken Cook used to own the team, you know, before Dan Snyder bought it for him, even though most people would disagree with Jack Ken Cook's stance, at least he was out in front and said it on many occasions that he's not changing the name, it's tradition, blah, 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 the end, right? But, you know, going back to Snyder, I mean, I just think that it is just really, 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 really sad in a way that he's trying to buy off Native America, basically. I mean, it says here, what, he tries to help them with their, like with their needs. Let's see here, like saying they basically, someone said, quote, that the Indian people they talked to cared very little about the Redskins nickname. Instead, they shared more pressing needs. And Snyder began working to meet those needs for the 3,000 coastal tribes. I mean, the jest is all well and good, but it's just window dressing. He's trying to divert the attention, in my opinion, away from that racist nickname. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, what if the team name was the Blackskins?
Right.
What if the team name were the Whiteskins? What if the team name was any other racial slur that we know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Washington N's. The Washington, like, you know, to quote George Jefferson, the Washington Hunks, you know, stuff like that. I mean, could you imagine the uproar? I mean, you can't say it's tradition, right?
Right.
I mean, because it is what it is. It's a racist nickname. And to be honest with you guys, I mean, the reason why they've been able to get away with it for so long, for so many decades, I mean, it's because the Native Americans are, like, underrepresented. I mean, they don't have a big political voice. They do not have large numbers. But that's changing now in the sense that they've become more and more vocal, and the momentum is now starting to lead to more of a try to to a possible name change of the organization, and that's a good thing.
And to back to your point, though, I would not, if I was being serviced by an organization that was called the Blackskins, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. Okay,
right.
So it's almost like it's a slap in the face to the people who he's trying to help now with his team being called the Redskins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to, you know, my whole soapbox on this issue has been there's really no honor given to the Native American society with the name Redskins, all right? You know,
right.
So you'll say, well, there are other organizations that have names that are related to the Indians. Well, Native Americans, that's true, okay? Mm-hmm. The Florida State Seminoles, that's a tribe, okay? The Blackhawks that play in Chicago for hockey, that's a tribal name, the Blackhawks.
Right.
We can go on and talk about who else? The Chiefs, that's, you know, Indian is the chief, is the head of his group. That's an honorable name. All of these names that I'm thinking of off the top of my head, honor the groups that they're talking about, okay? You know, we're talking about the whole entire group as their name. It's not hidden. It's not a slap in the face. Redskins, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that what the on the Cowboy Indian shows, that's what they used to call them, and those scouts from Redskins?
Oh, yeah.
Where's
yeah.
honor?
Yeah.
Well,
where's honor
part of it? That is part of it. I will tell you this. With my uncle being married to a Hopi Indian out in Arizona, mm-hmm. I have heard mm-hmm. them consider one another skins, just like African Americans consider one another niggas. So it's one of those. Right. It's just like nigga, actually, where we don't want anyone outside of our race to use it towards us, but we will use it on ourselves. So I found that to be highly interesting. But to go back to your point, Chris, in terms of the other teams and their nicknames or their mascots being Native American based, I just found that highly interesting how soon we forget that these same Native American organizations were going after these teams in the early 90s, especially during the time when the Braves were hot. Florida State had just won a national championship. The Chiefs, the Indians were playing relatively well. They were going after the Blackhawks.
Right.
They were going after everyone. But at that time period, only the collegiate teams were the ones that really changed their name. And from my understanding, the Seminole Nation now get some sort of kickback from Florida State, and they quiet it down. Yeah, there was a time in which FSU was receiving gripe from Native American organizations. So it's not like everybody wasn't getting it, but everyone, for whatever reason, it's kind of waned now, with the exception of, and I'm surprised that it really didn't get as much press as it should have, that one fan during the playoffs for the Cleveland Indians that painted his face completely red like the mascot.
That picture was all over the web, dude.
I didn't know that.
I'm surprised that didn't get more press. But that doesn't discredit the fact that the name of the Washington football team needs to change. Because, yeah, you're right, had them been the Washington niggas, I'd be upset, but they still say go, nigga, go anyway, so it's kind of like a wash. To be the mascot is one thing. It does need to change, but I just found it rather interesting. I don't know whether or not you guys are familiar with Jeffrey Wright.
No.
I am. Yes.
You know, he was in the Hunger Games. He was in Boardwalk Empire. I've seen him on
the remake.
That's why he was in Shaft. I forgot. Sure enough, he was in Shaft. What is the name of the show with I can't remember what it was. I'll send you a link on your page once I find it again. But he was on the show, and with Jeffrey Wright being from the D.C. area and actually being partially Native American, they asked him about the nickname because he was actually wearing a skins hoodie. So he was like, you know, being partially Native American, growing up, that was the only symbol that I saw that kind of resembled me, and it made me proud. Now, I can say that, you know, if the logo makes you feel that way, fine and dandy. But if the nickname is the issue, change the nickname. But, you know, like I said before, the whole kickback from Florida State, I went to a symposium, heard former skin, Doc Walker, say this himself, and he actually alluded to the Florida State situation where he said, you know, maybe they're just doing this not just to get the name changed, but to get some sort of financial kickback. Now, if you note in the letter and in all of the press that's been released about this whole a donation that he's given to his organization that he set up, there hasn't been a dollar amount announced. All that I remember being said is that blankets have been given and coats have been given. Maybe that's not enough to shut him up. So who's to say truthfully, you give me a coat, you give me a blanket, man, I'm not shopping for no coat, no blanket. You may need to kick out a little bit more in order for me to shut up, or you need to change the name. And as stubborn as he is, he's not changing the name. He said he's not changing the name. And it's going to be very difficult for this dude to go back on his word and change the name. So So somebody's going to have to give here. That means somebody's going to have to make a sacrifice. And I've heard someone say that they kind of, you know, they people attempt to liken this to the civil rights movement. Well, if you're going to do that, the sacrifices are going to have to be made, and something's going to have to happen to somebody. Somebody's going to have to be physically or emotionally uncomfortable in this situation in order for something to change. And that means it's great for Christine Brennan of USA Today and Dave Zierin and all of these sports writers to say that I'm no longer going to say the name of the team, but you're still covering the team.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody draws a line and says, you know what, I'm not even going to cover the team anymore, then maybe somebody listen. Or if somebody from the All-Nine Nation says, maybe I need to run out in the field during the second quarter, during a Monday night game, butt naked, to go ahead and draw attention to this plight, then somebody's going to have to be made uncomfortable in order for something to happen. Because right now people are saying things, but nobody is doing anything to make anybody really uncomfortable. Everybody's basically just throwing rocks from one side of a field to another, and nobody's really getting hit. Somebody got to get a little bit closer. Somebody got to be made uncomfortable.
Well, you know what? To your point about Florida State, right quick, my mom's family is originally from Florida, in Tallahassee, Florida, to be quite specific. And my great-grandma's is Seminole. So I'm like 1/8 or 1/16 Seminole myself. But the thing is that I grew up pulling for Florida State in football because basically you could see this campus from my great-grandmother's house. There's a cell up on the hill. And it never really bothered me personally. You know, like I said, you know, I just cared about the sports thing. I just saw it as more as honoring Seminole Nation. And that's from what I've seen and what I've heard, a lot of Seminole State feel the same way down in Florida. They see it as honoring their tribe.
Yeah. Right.
Seminole Nation is really big in Florida, obviously, because it's called the Seminole State, right? But the thing is that, you know, to your point, Dwayne, there are some who, it's not necessarily the name that's offensive. Some of those names that was offensive, it's the tomahawk chop that's more offensive. To me, I think
that was
more silly.
Yeah.
I'm not really offended by it. I just think it's silly. But you know, quite a few Native American, Seminole Nation, whoever, sees it as a mockery. You know, it's like that's all we do is just tomahawk all damn day long and scalp people. And, you know, it just makes up it makes a big mockery of it. I mean, that even at Braves games, Atlanta Braves games, you see a lot of that shit. But basically, you know, to go back to the whole discussion about some of those nations getting kickbacks, they do get hookups. I will say that they do get hookups from the state, from the school. And I think that the person who rides the horse out. I forget the name of the horse's name, but you know, like when they ride out there before kickoff, they plant the spear, the flaming spear in midfield.
Yeah.
At Phil Campbell Stadium, I think he's. I think that young man is part of Seminole Nation too. I'm not sure. I need to check on that, but I think he is. But going back to the Redskins, you know, they could take a cue from what Florida State has done in a sense. Sure, you can keep the emblem. You can keep the symbol on the helmet. But why not change the name to the Warriors? The Washington Warriors. It rolls off your tongue, the Washington Warriors. Okay? Because you keep that same Native American theme, but you're more or less a true honoring because, you know, who doesn't want to be a warrior, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't is like a soldier. So why not do that? Why just make it keep it simple and do it that way? I mean, keep the same color scheme, and you can keep the emblem. You know, I mean, you're not really losing anything. Plus, to Dwayne's point, Washington, the fans of the football team here are so rabid, and Redskin Nation is by and large very big. you go down the South, especially the Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, for that matter, you have a whole lot of Redskins fans. I don't think they would give two dams in the end if they change their name to something like the Warriors. As long as you keep the same colors, as long as you keep the emblem, and as long as you keep the team in Washington, they'll pull for it. I mean, fans here are too good for that. They're not that shallow, in my opinion.
But you know what the interesting thing
is,
though? You know what the interesting thing is, though? I've heard so many fans on sports talk radio here in this area that are so animate the name not changing. It's ridiculous to me. I'm like, why are you so – it's not like – I mean, I understand that you grew up with the team name being that way, but what a lot of people forget is that the team used to be called the Braves before they moved to D.C. It's not – why are you holding on to this name so hard that – you know, that you're acting like you're changing your own name, which is the name of the like, I kind of felt that way when the Bullets changed their name. Oh, but that's also because the name Wizards sucked. It's not Pelicans, but Wizards are still damn bad. But I understood why he changed the name. Like, I'm trying to understand why is it that no one really understands, or those who are animate about the name change, or not changing the name, why they're holding on to it so hard. It baffles my mind. But, you know, when you're privileged and it doesn't affect you, or it's not something that you can associate with, then, you know, you're not going to want to change it.
And the thing is, in time, you know, it'll be odd to call them a different name the first season, maybe the second season. But after a while, it becomes – it's the way of life. To the point where they'll say, who were they? What was their name? I need to go look that up, because it'll be, you know, let's just go with Warriors. Oh, Washington Warriors? Who were they before? I don't remember. It's not that big of a deal. And again, to the point that, you know, fans live and die on things. It's like, well, in the end, you know, are they getting paid? No. You know, are we not out in the field hurting ourselves? All we do is buy the jerseys, and we're fans. You know, we're not. There's no vested interest really in for us individually if they change the name. But it really isn't, you know, in the scheme of things. It's really not that big of a deal if they change the name. You know, and the thing is, with me being from Chicago, I have to really think about that statement before I said it, because you know the company came in and bought the tower and now calls it the Willis Tower. I said I'll never call it the Willis Tower. It's always going to be a serious power to me, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just the change. It's the change of an instant, because I grew up with it. It's Sears Tower. It's you know, it's the symbol of, you know, the city I grew up in. You know, at one point it was the world's tallest building. But in the end, you know, if you still look at a picture of Chicago, you still see it there. You know, I can still say I'm going to call it the Sears Tower, even if it is the Willis Tower. You know, personally. But the thing is, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, you know. It's not that big of a deal in my life, you know. And so I just look at, you know, some this for people to be so attached to something that has nothing really to do with them, how mature is that? You know, let's just call it what it is, you know.
Yeah, right.
But you know what, unfortunately, especially when dealing with sports, it happens.
Yeah.
And it happens a whole lot, where we attach ourselves to these organizations, be it because it's from the spot where we're from, or while we were young, that team was good, I liked them, I attached myself to them, I like to be associated with winning or whatever, and we just link on. Now, some people's attachments to those organizations are stronger than others, but, you know, for whatever we like to look at it, you know, it's still... we still have these attachments to these organizations. But you're absolutely correct. We're not getting no kickback from it. We're actually making them richer because of the fact of how fanatic we are about these teams. And we buy merchandise and we give them our money. But like I said before, unless he hears it's going to have to be something drastic that changes. Either the team coverage reduces, the fans of the team say something, which is not going to happen because right now 75% to 80% of the team fans that have been polled don't want the name to be changed, and or the nomination is going to have to do something to shake things up.
And all three of those things, none of those three things are likely to happen.
No.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, a fan is going to say, a fan is always going to say, keep it the same. You know, how often have we, as a group in any given area, said, oh, let's change the name of a team? None of us have. You know, we're not going to, because we like it to stay the way it is. You know, we're creatures of habit, and this is the way it is. I mean, we're the ones that like that. So just, I would say, you know, polling the fans, you know, they're always going to say that. So it's almost like lying with statistics. You know, they're always going to give you that answer. Whether it's always going to be a majority of them that give you that answer, whether it's 50% or 80%. But to your point, you know, none of those things are going to happen. I mean, another thing that could, you know, make Danny Snyder change the name is if people stop coming to the games. That's not going to happen. So none of those things are going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to have to be something that you know, he, for whatever reason, has an epiphany and decides to do. Because none of the things that, you know, that you mentioned, which would need to happen, are going to.
Right.
But you know what the other thing is, Chris?
Too much, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But one of the other things that's in benefit to Daniel Snyder is the team that he owns and where it plays. D.C. Mm-hmm. is such a transient city that even if skin fans don't go to the games, fans of the opponent will be coming. And we've seen it time and time again. Philly fans can't get games in Philly, so they'll take that trek down to D.C. for 2 hours to see the Eagles play. Giants fans will drive 4 hours to come see him. Pittsburgh fans will drive to come see him. There's so many Cowboy fans here in the area, they'll come see the Cowboys play. So if your team is close enough, they'll come to play, and they'll buy the tickets up even if the Skins fans don't go, and they'll still make money.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Wow. There's always money talks and bullshit walks, though. Now,
exactly.
as if that was blood boiling enough, look at what the NBA is talking about doing to the being draft eligible. Adam Silver, the new commissioner, stated that, well, he floated the idea, but he really wants the age limit to be raised from 19 to 20 years of age, meaning that for most kids, you have to stay in college for 2 years, and which, you know, which doesn't take into account, of course, if they're like JUCO transfers, or they play overseas for a year, things like that. But basically, everybody has their feelings on it. Some people think that kids need to get more seasoning in college before they make the jump to pros. Other people say that that's un-American, you know, if a kid is able to perform on the next level, then he needs to have a chance. We give him a chance, an opportunity to do so, if his guy given talent that allows him to. So I started up with Chris last time, so I'll kick it to Dwayne. So Dwayne, should the NBA at least raise the age limit to 20, or should they just leave it as it is and maybe take away the age limit altogether?
Now, I understand the whole argument where people like to say that, you know, you talk about other sports like tennis, you got also baseball, ice skating, where you could come in at any age and make a livable wage. And the fact that a lot of this is really affecting African Americans from coming in and making money at a very young age. That I am against. But with the quality of play in the league diminishing the way that it is, and even mm-hmm. those who still come in at high school or leave high school to come straight in, it's not a guarantee that you're going to go ahead and, one, last in the league, two, even if you come in and get that money, that you're going to be financially responsible enough to hold on to those millions and end up, you know, being well off for the rest of your life. Because we see pro athletes all the time losing their money. Now, I'm just going to basically look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm just going to go ahead and look at it from the quality of play from the league, the aspect of the league, and what they should do. Now, I can wholeheartedly agree with Chuck. For those who aren't aware, but Charles Barkley made a comment last week, I think it was, that these guys need to go ahead and stay in the league a little bit longer for them to mature and then come into the NBA. That's not a new sentiment, one of his or of a lot of other people who feel that way. Now, I think if these guys stay in the league, number one, it helps out the NCAA because you get an opportunity to, one, learn who these guys are.
Yep.
You get a chance to latch on to these guys while they're in the NCAA. I mean, you look at guys during our time when we were growing up, a lot of these guys, I mean, they did have a choice on whether or not they could go or stay because Moses went straight out of high school, right?
That's right, Moses Malone.
Yeah, so they had a choice. But some of these guys elected to stay 3-4 years, and they had that fire in them to want to compete and at least win some sort of NCAA championship if they had an opportunity. Now, these guys had the opportunity to go in and mature for like a 3 or 4 years, like a Patrick Ewing, like a Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. like a Larry Bird, like a Jordan, Worthy. Not only will we get a chance to grow with these guys while they're in college as fans, but these guys will have some sort of time to develop because a lot of these guys aren't NBA ready when they come straight out of college after doing a one-and-done situation. Now, I understand that a lot of these guys are suffering financially, and if that's your case, there are two ways you can do it. Now, what the NBA needs to do is open up the doors for these guys who don't want to really go to college to come into the NBDL, especially these guys who are good enough to not really compete on the NBA level and probably are too far advanced, because we know there are a couple of freshmen who are just that good but not really good enough to compete in the NBA. They can go over to the NBDL, set up rivalries in the NBDL, which will actually boost up attendance in the NBDL. Because are you telling me you wouldn't go to an NBDL game if you couldn't see what's your boy's name that plays with Kansas right now?
Wiggins.
Yeah, if you couldn't see Wiggins versus Parker in the NBDL, you're telling me you wouldn't go see that or you wouldn't turn that on TV? I know a lot of people that would watch that. So, you know, you can either do that or you can do the Jennings route and go overseas for a year, get some money over there, learn the grown man game over there, and then decide to come back in a year or so. Do it either way. Or if you just want to go ahead and get your education. But they need to go ahead and raise it up. Because if you look at the league right now, do you see that the West has like, what, 8-9 teams with over 40 wins right now? If you look at those rosters, a lot of those rosters are filled up with guys that have been in the league at least 8 to 10 years. You got a very old Mavericks team that's fighting for a playoff spot. You have a well-seasoned Memphis Grizzlies team. The only young teams, and they are young, extremely talented teams, are the OKC, Portland. But even with that, Aldridge has been in the league for some time, even though he left school early. So he, in essence, would have been a second-year man right now in the league. Yeah, he stayed in college at least 2 or 3 years. So most of these guys, they're young in age. But they would have been like a second, third-year guy. But you look at these Eastern teams, a lot of these Eastern teams are laden with young guys. Cleveland, Washington, who just happened to pick up a bunch of veterans now. But who else? Charlotte's rather young. A lot of those teams are young, but they're all 30 win or less teams. Let these guys just go somewhere and be seasoned. Don't continue to mess up my NBA because it looks bad. It does, in my opinion.
Chris, what say you?
Yeah. I'm a fan. I agree. I'm a fan of having the minimum age raise. And I stopped watching a lot of the NBA ball recently because, you know, to Dwayne's point, I don't know who these guys are. You have one good year, you know, so what? You know, you have one good year, maybe you have one good, you know, run in the NCAA championship and people know your name, but what did you do before that? You know, what is your take? Oh, you were a scrub. You were a backup. You know, you really didn't do anything, but now you've got all of this, you know, press, and you get into the NBA and you disappear. You know,
yeah.
You get to one of these bad teams because you're a high draft pick and you disappear. So, and all of a sudden now you get exposed because you didn't really have skills that you could have developed had you stuck around, you know, in the perennial programs and been coached, you know. I look at the developmental league as like a farm system, which didn't exist before. Why does it exist now? Because people are going to college 1 year, 2 years, and thinking they're going to make it in the NBA, and they don't. Okay, so now we have this other place for them to go, which didn't exist before because the NCAA, the college ranks, was the farm team. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So
right.
For the sake of a dollar, the powers that be have allowed kids who had the opportunity, who came from the streets, who had the opportunity to go to school, you don't need to go to school. We'll take you after 1 year. And so they go to school to play for 1 year, but they don't really go to class. So when they don't make an NBA, when they get kicked out of the developmental league, now what do they do? Okay? They have nothing. And it's because it's a machine that's being created. The college game is not that good anymore. You know, the only time I ever watch it now is right now, actually, during the tournament, because that's when you have the best basketball. But then even then, now you've got gross inconsistency because you got teams full of freshmen and sophomores, you know, who haven't really gelled, who haven't really developed their skills, you know, so you have the Syracuse that goes up and down because they're not consistent, you know. And some of these same players are going to take a leap because they saw someone else do it, you know, after one and done. They're going to take a leap and try to go to the NBA and end up in Europe. They're going to end up in the developmental league. Or if they do make it to the NBA, they're going to stink. And we won't remember who they were. I was watching, you know, a late-night Warriors game, and they broke down all the players were on these two teams who had experience in the NCAA NCAA tournament. And mm-hmm. I don't remember these guys because none of them won a championship. They just had 2 years of experience in, you know, tournament, whatever. It makes no difference to me because they stink, you know. And let's go back to, you know, Joanne, you brought up a good point and speak about the Mavericks because I've kind of seen how they built their team. They picked, you know, the team that eventually won a championship in 2011. All those were veterans from other teams, a lot of them, you know, and put together. But, yeah, they were veterans. And they had all been in the league for a bunch of years. None of them were, you know, one-and-done guys. And they were guys who developed their craft over the years, okay? And the good thing for the ones that aren't playing in the Mavericks now is that now that they developed their craft, they were good team players, they came together, they won a championship, and now they're still – elsewhere in the league still being productive, okay?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, instead of putting together a bunch of these kids, okay, Mark Cuban's group went out and got veterans. You know, let's get this guy who's been here for 10 years. He's been playing for 8. This guy's journeyman, but, hey, he's got these skills that we need. So it's kind of like, you know, I feel bad for Tubby Smith's son, who he was in developmental league. You know, everyone thought he was going to be somebody. He should have stayed in school. You know, they need to stay in school. You know, and the emphasis is taken off of education placed on a sport, you know, when it should be the other way around. I mean, if you have an opportunity to go to Stanford or Duke or North Carolina, why don't you take advantage of that? You know, at least if you leave in your junior year, it's easier to go back and finish it off. You know, then if you leave your freshman year, you've done nothing. Jordan, you know, he left after 3 years. I think he went back and finished his degree. Shaquille O'Neal left after 3 years.
Yeah.
He went back and finished his degree. It's really easy to finish a degree off if you, you know, go on to your junior year, you know.
Right.
And the smart ones who finish years, okay, once they get done, you know, hey, you know, I'm working HR. I see resumes all the time with people with no college degrees. I'm like, oh, we can get him cheap. We can get her cheap because they have a degree. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's a disservice to the child, which is what they are, to tell them, hey, come
right.
here for 1 year and just play basketball. That's all you have to do. Play basketball, our wonderful institution. Then you can go to the NBA. You know, it's a pipe dream. It's like a multi-level marketing thing, you know. It's a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, who are the ones who are being used? It's the African-American men who are the ones
exactly.
who are suffering
yeah.
from this, okay?
Exactly.
They're the ones and once they don't make it in the NBA, which how many of them are there? It's less than 500 that are actually in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. Once they don't make it there,
yeah,
they're not going to make it because you don't have a degree. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Well, this is why I come out on it, fellas. First of all, to the, like for the record, I didn't think this would happen, but I agree with both of y'all. I thought that at least one of y'all would say that it's un-American and they should be able to do whatever they want, blah, blah, blah. I even heard a lot of people, including Doc Rivers, say that, well, if a kid is 18, he would be able, like he would be eligible to go to war to fight for our country.
Yeah.
But my response to that would be, but yeah, but they have to go to boot camp first.
Right.
You can't just
yep.
throw his ass out there in the war. You got to go to boot camp
yep.
first. So
yep.
you got to get
true.
Your training. You got to get your training. You got to earn your keep. You got to refine your skills because no military in the world would send their 18-year-old kids out there raw and unskilled. You got to develop. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And you know what? I would go on to and say that, you know, that this will benefit the college game, it will benefit the NBA, which they would if they raise the age limit. But I'll say this. The real reason why they had this age limit in the first place, in my opinion, is because they wanted to protect the front office folks in the NBA from themselves. Remember
yeah.
when they had Kobe and Kevin Garnett in the mid-90s come out
yeah.
Straight from high school to the NBA. That for those two cats that made it, and also Tracy McGrady as well, for those three cats who made it, there were many, 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 many other cats who went straight from high school to the pros and did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Owen Young only stayed 1 year at Pitt, I think, or didn't even go to college at all. He went undrafted and fizzled out. There's several more tales of those folks who failed than who made it from high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, and basically they didn't really have to make an age limit because they never had an age limit before in the 80s and the early 90s when Jordan and all those cats were coming out, like when they were playing college ball. All the front office folks need to do is A, do the due diligence, and B, just don't draft them. Just don't draft these 1%ers. Don't draft on potential. Draft on quality. That's why a lot of these teams suck. Go ahead.
Exactly. But you know what, Scott? I've said that same thing, and you know what was told to me? Pressure from the fan base would be so heavy. Because of the fact that these guys passed up on these guys and their potential, what they potentially might do in the league, that they would end up losing their jobs if they were wrong. You know, these guys come in, they pass up on the guy because of his potential and get a guy that may be NBA ready, but who turns out just to be a flop, and the potential guy ends up playing well, then what? But unfortunately,
but you're gonna have that even if it's, you know, even if you have two guys that waited 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's
exactly.
gonna happen.
It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot anyway.
Yeah, I'd put my reputation. I would rather. I'm sitting when you made that statement. You know, I can think of numerous occasions where, oh yeah, if we'd just taken that one guy with our pick, the pick that came behind us, we just taking him. But the thing is, it's like how many of these same men are losing their jobs because they picked on a potential who sucks, okay? I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, Kwame Brown, where is he, you know? And he was
actually,
the one that came out, okay? He was the first one I thought about.
I got to defend Kwame. Being a Wizards fan,
uh-oh.
I got to defend Kwame.
Defend
and I'm not going to defend him for the simple fact of his talent. I'm defrauded a little bit because this dude was able to stay in the league for 12 years. Now, he never put up number one overall numbers. And everyone always says that, yeah, sure, you can't teach height. But for whatever reason, this seven-footer was able to stay in the league for longer than 10 years. One up on him, Kwame. Let them say
because
what they want, but you was able to stay in the league for at least 10 years.
Because everyone was looking at his potential. Potential. If we can control it. You know, what
yeah.
superhero was that? If we can harness his power. And that's what everyone kept saying. If we can harness
right.
his power, he's going to be great.
Exactly.
And no one could do it. Not even Jordan could do it. He was here
but
in Dallas
Jordan,
for a while and
Jordan
walked
really
out.
Hurt that dude. Jordan is what really, in my personal opinion, hurt Kwame Brown. But that's another show for another day. But you're right, Kwame Brown does kind of qualify for that. Look, there's a ton more, especially in that draft was the draft that really blew up everything in terms of guys coming out of high school. Because in that 2001 draft, wasn't it like the first three or four guys taken were all guys out of high school? That was the draft that blew it all open. And that was the thing where all the high school guys were like, you know what? Kobe did it. Garnett did it. T-Mac did it. Now, these clowns all did it. One, two, three. Matter of fact, if you look at it, Kobe, McGrady, and Garnett weren't even first overall picks that year. You had three guys go one, two, three. That's when the floodgates exploded. And everybody was like, you know
right.
what? Do it. Matter of fact, because that year it was Kwame, Chandler. I can't
right.
remember who went up to Chandler, but was it Curry? Did Curry go third that year?
You talking about Seth Curry?
Eddie Curry.
Yeah. He went third to Chicago, I think.
Yes, remember him? Yeah, these are all guys who straight out of high school, and everybody was like, oh, my God, I need to go ahead and make that money. Matter of fact, did you guys see the God, what is that dude's name? It was just on the tip of my tongue. The Cook story. Your boy from Jersey. He came on Showtime.
Oh, you're talking about that same kid who played with LeBron in high school. I guess him.
Yeah. God, I can't remember what his first name is.
Yeah, but he was nice.
And he was a junior in high school when he saw these clowns coming out in 2001. Thinking to himself, you know what? Next year is going to be me, and it never panned out for him. And this guy was extremely talented. He was busting Carmelo's ass, and Carmelo was about a year older. He was taking it to who else was in that draft that year? Him and LeBron was basically toe to toe. And
I remember that.
Now this dude is chilling. An employee of Virginia with his moms and his fiance dreaming about what could have been. Now, it's not just the fact that he didn't go to college. It's the fact that he was also tempted by money in a year where he didn't have to go to high school because he was too old to really play in high school ball in the state of Jersey, where he could have either gone someplace else and played in somebody's prep school for one more year, or go with this agent who put $350,000 in his face, cash money, and said, do what you want to do for a year. All you got to do is work out 3 days a week, and everybody already wants you anyway. You make it to the league. And he ended up not getting drafted at all.
Yeah. I remember that.
You know what I'm saying?
I remember that.
That was just a situation of a misguided youth.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the guy, he was so old he couldn't play in high school anymore? Was he dumb or did he just did his birthday come late or something? I mean, that's a low blow.
It's a situation where something has to be done, and it needs to be done now, because as a fan of the NBA, I'm paying for a lesser product. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I'm starting to feel as though that the quality of play that I'm coming out to watch is just not that great. And I got to sit there and I got to watch potential for 4 years. and then hope that this dude stayed after his four-year contract and stud? Because even if you're drafting for potential, there's no guarantee that this dude will still be here once he starts to get good. Because
right.
that normally kicks in by year three, year four. And that's what his first contract has done. And then you are stuck in a situation where, depending upon how the market is, you may end up having to overpay for a guy who may not be fully developed, or you may end up having to see that guy who you wait for the draft pick on go elsewhere, get good, and then end up counting your squad for the next 10 years.
Yep. After you finally develop, which is, he says, after he finally develops from year three, year four, year five, which if he had stayed in college, perhaps it would have accelerated his development in the NBA because he would have already had that experience. He would have learned how to dribble properly. He would have learned how to throw a bounce pass. He would have learned how to use the backboard. He would have learned how to use his body in the post. Things that he would have been coached to do in college that now he's having to be coached to do in the NBA because he doesn't know how to do it.
He would have learned not to shoot 33-pointers and only two-pointers in the game. How about that, Jamari
Exactly.
Parker? Take that with you as you get ready for the draft, buddy.
But then again, fellas, what? Oh, and I know, Dwayne, what you said about the pressure from fans of not drafting these focal potential studs. Fuck the fans. That's why we're fans and they're executives. Fuck us. I mean, we just on the sideline. We're going to talk shit anyway. So might as well just listen to it, just do your job and not worry about it. I mean, that's the whole point.
Good point.
Just don't draft
Good
these
point.
Whippersnappers. Just don't draft these clowns. Let them
I mean,
go
you
to
think
college,
about
let
it.
Let them find a game and do it.
I mean, I know we're talking about basketball, but I just think about, you know, on draft day for football, how many times do the fans boo at the pick that the team makes, and all of a sudden that pick ends up being the one that helps that team get to the Super Bowl later. Because they're not paying attention to the fans.
Not for that nab, exactly.
Okay? Ignore the fans because the executives are supposed to know what they're doing. You know,
exactly.
We want a good product. Then we want to be able to see defense, good offense, and good all-around play. Like I said, I don't watch the NBA a whole lot now because it's watered down. It's not that good. The talent is not that great right now.
Yeah.
I follow it on SportsCenter. Follow it on SportsCenter most of the time, you know, because it's not – the talent's just that great. Not like it used to be when you have, you know, these really excellent games, you know, really hard-fought, you know, Knicks and Bulls, you know, from the 90s. You know, the Pacers and, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics. You don't have those type of quality games anymore. It's just not there.
Right.
No, just not there. And everyone's all about the money.
So much turnover. It's so much turnover in the league, it's not even funny, where you have these elite guys, and it's not a ton of them. You know, you got very few good guys, and then you got a bunch of also-rans who stay in the league for about 3 to 4 years. And then these guys end up rotating out between guys who have been in the D-League and international guys and guys who have gone overseas to play for a little bit, and these guys get a little bit of taste of the league. And that's what you end up getting. You get this huge hodgepodge of turnover guys that play along these elite and great players, and it's not that good.
No.
Right. And that's the thing. So moral of the story is to the executives, well, two things. The executives in the NBA, A, fuck the fans, and B, don't draft young players. Don't draft young, unproven players. Let them get seasoning in school. I mean, granted, there's the once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-generational talent, a la LeBron James, a la Kobe Bryant, a la Kevin Garnett, a la Tracy McGrady. But, again, for those four cats I just mentioned, there are many, 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 many more. Kwame Brown, throw a name out there. I know he's staying in the league for 12 years, but if you're drafted number one, you don't stay in the – you're not drafted number one overall to be a role player for 12 years in the NBA. I'm sorry, he's supposed to be a stud. But
hey, baby,
anyway,
he lasted longer than Michael Olowokandi.
That is true. See, that's another bum. He did stay in school, by the way. But that's another bum for another story. But anyway, all right, fellas. I know it's the ninth of the Sweet 16, so I'll let you guys go and watch some college ball. But thank you very much for joining me, and thank you for the – I really need the good laugh, and it's good to talk sports anyway with you guys. So thanks a lot.
Always.
I enjoyed it, too.
All right, peace out, brother. All right,
all right, take care, man. All right, Scott.
You too, Dwayne.
All right, peace.
All right.
All right, those are my men, my main man, Dwayne Nash from the Check. Check him out, by the way, on the yard/HBCU Sports. Google it. And my man Chris Lupe, Chicago Bears fan. For some reason, he liked the Cowboys for a while, but thankfully he saw the light on that. But, you know, as I said before, those two issues we touched on tonight, the Washington Redskins nickname, will it ever be changed? Dan Snyder tiptoeing around it, trying to window dress his way through it. And also with the NBA, Adam Silver wanted to raise the age limit, which I agree with. Many other people do not agree with it that I know of. But I'm sure you guys will holler me on Facebook about it, though, so whatever. But thanks a lot for listening, tuning in to the podcast with Scott Burks, the Clown Hour, 06. Enjoy the Sweet 16. Night. Nice.